Hey, what's up, kiddies? This is Bill from OutsideTheCinema.com, and you're listening to the Gore Press Gorecast. It fucking sucks, but deal with it.
In the most high name of the most high spirit, in the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie, in the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantant Makut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! What happened here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Welcome to another Gore Press Gorecast. It's me, Dangerous Jamie, one of your hosts. And joining me, as always, is something funny that I can't think of, Sarah. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. How you doing?
I couldn't think of anything amusing to call you this week.
You couldn't?
I'm sorry.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Work on your puns.
Yeah. I don't think I could top Fake Champ 3, so...
Probably not. Have a think on it. You've got till next week.
This is the first week in our Melt Month.
Yes, which we're pretty excited about.
Yeah, definitely. We're bringing some gooey fun towards your ears or something. But before that, we are going to have a little bit of a chat about... some news that's come out today that doesn't really want to wait until the wrap-up show.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about Ozploitation because we are covering the Australian gooey classic in so many inverted commas, Body Melt.
Yes.
From 1993. But before that, don't forget you can email us at podcast@gorepress.com, go to the Facebook page at facebook.com/gorecast.
And you can follow us on Twitter now.
You can. I set that up because all the bands that I'm sort of friends with have all been like moaning about how Facebook wants them to pay to have their updates seen by everyone.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, like, to avoid the point where that happens to all Facebook pages, like pages on the
It's done it to me on the Sugar and Vice page.
Has it?
Yeah.
I think it's a link to the amount of followers that you have, or likes, or whatever they're called. So I just thought if I could set up a Twitter and then it won't be so bad when it happens.
Yeah.
If we ever get enough followers to likes to justify it. So you can follow us at GorePress, at GorePressX.
GoreCast.
At GoreCastX. Because GoreCast has already taken.
Oh, by who?
I have no idea.
Have you had a look at the account?
Let's do it now, shall we?
Let's have a look, those fuckers. We need to reclaim it. Can we contact them and say, please surrender this account? Please don't tell me there's another podcast.
Orlando Castillo. There's two tweets. One of them is 27th of May 2011, the other one is 10th of June this year. Really fucking annoying.
What a dick. Oh, that's a shame.
Following two people, one follower.
What a waste.
The one follower he's got is himself on a different account.
Oh.
Which has no tweets and is following two accounts. That's annoying. Thanks for that, Orlando Castillo.
Thanks for nothing.
If you're listening, you are. My new girlfriend's got a daughter, so I can't call her a cunt. and so the way we get around it by when Poppy's around is I call her a seaweed. It sounds a bit like a C word, and it means absolutely nothing to the ears of a baby. So, Orlando Castillo, you are a seaweed.
You are indeed.
Yeah. Yes. Let's jump into this Fright Fest news that came out this morning.
Do it.
They've obviously, it's only a couple of weeks until tickets go on sale. I'm really hoping I can scrounge together 160 quid to get a ticket, but at the moment it's not looking too likely.
No, that's not on. We need a full Gore Press outing this year.
We really do.
We do.
I mean, I've got some irons in the fire, so maybe something will come off, but
let's hope so.
It's not looking too good at the moment. But the news is that the opening film has been announced, The Seasoning House, directed by British effects star, I guess. He's a name that you see all over the place, Paul Hyatt. His directorial debut is the opening film, mm-hmm.
But it's got Sean Pertwee in it.
Well, he's gonna die.
Well, exactly. Or the twist is gonna be that he survives, maybe.
No.
Maybe they've done it to throw everyone.
It's got Sean Pertwee in it, he's gonna die. Hopefully he'll be like flambéed like he was in Doomsday.
We can hope.
What a horrible way to die. Also, Neil Marshall seems to have a cameo in it.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting. But it's, according to the newsletter, it is a psychological horror in the vein of Hitchcock or Polanski, but with an ultra-modern twist.
Sounds good.
That doesn't mean that there's like Twitter in it or something. Shit. I really hate it when they like include stuff like that. What was the horror film about MySpace? The MySpace killer? Something like that.
I don't know. Never seen it.
Yeah, they've announced the closing film of Fright Fest, which is Tower Block.
Mm-hmm. They're really focusing on British films this time around, aren't they?
Well, they seem to be. James Nunn, well, I mean, they always sort of open with a British film.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a nice bookend because Tower Block, directed by James Nunn and Ronnie Thompson, has effects by Paul Hyatt.
Oh, okay.
So it's sort of a neat bookend. But I mean, Paul Hyatt's done everything. He's been pretty much involved in every good British horror film.
He's a hard-working man.
He is. I want to be friends with him.
Probably hasn't got time.
He might have time. I'm pretty flexible with my schedule at the moment, so I can always just work around him.
Okay. Get in touch then. See what happens.
Yeah, I might do. Dear Mr. Hyatt, I want to be your friend. Can you fix it to me be your friend?
That was another classic Jamie sentence. Do it. It could be the start of a beautiful thing.
It really could. Also announced is the UK premiere of Wreck 3, Genesis.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I didn't care for Wreck too much, but I really liked Wreck 2, so I'm pretty stoked on where this is going to go.
See, normally it's the other way around.
Yeah.
I think most people who really liked the first one were a bit meh about the second one. I like them both. I think they're both enjoyable.
My problem with the first one is probably purely based on situation. I went... it was showing in the Odeon for one night in where I lived in Bracknell, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna have to. It's on for one night. It's been so hyped by everyone ever that it's gonna be pretty busy, so I better book in advance. Paid a bit extra for premier seating, and I was the only fucking listener.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Have you not rewatched it since?
No, I haven't.
Oh, give it a shot then. You might love
it. I've got it on DVD, but I've never. Rewatched it. I know I should do.
Yeah.
But Wreck 2 was great. I liked how it was completely sort of, I don't know about completely, but it was a fairly fresh approach to the zombie mythos.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. This seems to be a comedy though. The second one wasn't a comedy.
The third one's a comedy.
It says here, gruesomely hilarious second sequel in the groundbreaking Spanish zombie franchise.
Oh, I'm not sure if I'm on board with that.
It unfolds in parallel to the events of the previous two episodes.
Oh.
Packed with gore gags, irreverent humour, jolting death, and is cleverly tied to the previous movies in wickedly surprising ways.
Maybe the first two were comedies and it was just lost in translation.
Maybe.
That seems odd, though.
It does.
Well,
the same directors, so I mean...
I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, definitely.
What are the other clues?
And there was some hints as to other films that they were showing. One of the hints was the anthology you want to see, which I think is VHS, but you think might be the ABCs of Horror.
Well, no, I think it's VHS as well. It's just saying ABCs of Death is...
ABCs of Death.
Probably, I don't know, I'd like it to be shown at the same time, but that's another anthology that's coming out soon. You're probably right with VHS, though.
I mean, it's the one that everyone's talking about.
Yeah. It'd be cool if they were both showing.
Yeah. The greatest serial killer thriller since Henry... which is Maniac, I believe.
Is that still a bit of a bone of contention for you?
I want to see it.
Have you seen the trailer?
No.
It looks pretty cool, actually. Looks promising.
Who's in it? Elijah Wood?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reserve judgment. On.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, Elijah Wood was creepy as shit as the guy in Sin City.
He was, yeah. Yeah.
So as long as he can... like channel that, then maybe it'll be okay. I haven't seen the trailer. I didn't want to look at it. And the two other clues that I'm not sure on, the best Halloween 2012 release.
Yeah.
I mean, we can maybe find out what that might be.
I couldn't. Yeah, I racked my brains. Couldn't think of anything. Are you looking now?
Yeah, just quickly.
Okay.
Taken 2, Frank and Weenie, that's what it's going to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or Sinister.
Oh, is that the...
I'm just looking on IMDb as what's being released in October.
Sinister, is that the sort of...
It's a found footage, helps a true crime novelist realise how and why a family was murdered in his new home.
Is it by the guy who did Insidious, or have I imagined that? I hated Insidious, though. So let's hope not.
You imagined that.
Did I?
It's by the guy that directed Hellraiser Inferno.
Oh, no.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Oh, no.
And the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Right. Okay, not holding out too much hope for that.
No. What else is in October? Pitch Perfect as a comedy. VHS.
Well, it's not that.
Paranormal Activity 4.
No. Really?
Yeah.
Maybe. I wouldn't have thought so, though. Would they get that excited about Paranormal Activity 4?
Possible.
It's become the new Saw now, though, hasn't it? They do bring one out on a yearly basis these days. Because Saw always used to be the Halloween release, didn't it?
ABCs of Death is in line for a 2nd of October release, November release even, so it could even be that.
Yeah.
But my guess is Frank and Weenie.
Yeah. Seems the most plausible, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any other clues, or is that it?
The final clue was this year's a mare, so while I don't know what that is, I'm guessing it's European and pretty.
Mm-hmm.
But off the top of my head, I couldn't place that.
Hmm.
So let's move on quickly and talk about Ozploitation.
Yes. My knowledge is fairly limited, so I don't know how long I can talk for, but yeah. I wasn't aware Ozploitation was a thing until very recently, to be honest. And it was basically because I bought and watched the documentary Not Quite Hollywood.
I mean, Not Quite Hollywood's been kicking around for a while, hasn't it? And,
about 4 years, I think.
Yeah, a lot of people are... a lot of people are more interested in it or, know more about it. Like, I think Ozploitation, much like any other subgenre in a country that we don't know too much about, despite it being an English-speaking country... is now sort of more prevalent because of it.
Yeah.
But like Ozploitation, I think like there's a few breakouts, but not many.
Yeah.
Obviously the Mad Max films breakouts.
Body Melt.
I don't know if it's a breakout really.
But yeah, the term Ozploitation didn't really exist until that documentary. I think that's credited as coining the term, because I think it was Quentin Tarantino that said Aussie-sploitation, and the guy who made the documentary just shortened it. Because Quentin Tarantino is a massive exploitation fan, isn't he?
He sure is. But, I mean, he's just a massive exploitation fan.
Well, yeah. But I did read somewhere that he kind of credits Body Melt as being one of his favourite Australian films. But we'll talk more about that in the actual review, I suppose.
Yeah. On the subject of Quentin Tarantino, but off topic slightly, did you see the trailer for Django Unleashed?
Unchained. I did, I want to see that.
It looks fucking brilliant.
It does.
Although, it does annoy me that they blew the biggest, like, nerd moment in the trailer.
Maybe it wasn't, though.
Well, I mean, Jamie Foxx's Django sat next to Franco Nero, obviously the original Django.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, that's the moment, surely.
Yes. They've got to pique people's interest somehow, I suppose. It does look fantastic, though.
It really does.
Definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, let's get back to, sorry.
Let's.
exploitation. Another breakout was obviously Patrick.
Mm.
Which is great. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it is great.
I haven't seen it, I'll be honest.
Have you not seen Patrick?
No.
It's like Freak Dog, or Red Mist, or whatever it's called, but like...
Yeah. Yeah, well, better. I think... There were clips in the documentary, and me and Matt just did sort of look at each other and went, have we seen that? Somewhere else, perhaps? But yeah, I do wonder whether that's where... What's his face? Spence Wright. Good old Spence Wright got his idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't shy about it.
Mm. Obviously.
I think we touched on it in the big old interview that I did when the Gore Press was in its infancy.
Yeah, first ever interview, I think, on the site.
Yeah.
He went on to big things.
He sent me a script for a film that he wrote called Morn about banshees and stuff, and it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But that's come to nothing. Last time I spoke to him, he was putting the finishing touches on another script called Teenage Kicks, about drugs and stuff and youths. But horrors, but still. But yeah.
Well, you never know, these things can end up in development for years, can't they? It might still happen.
It might. I don't think the reception of Red Mist helped.
No, probably too much, not. I don't think that was just his fault, though.
Like, what's Paddy Branner done since? Paddy Brenner or whatever. Breathe Natural.
Was he the... Oh, that's it, yeah. He was the director, wasn't he? I don't know, actually.
He did Shrooms as well.
Oh, that was...
Did you know there was a Shrooms 2?
I didn't. Has that been released?
Yeah.
Not that I'm keen to watch it, but I had no idea that existed. The first one was pretty bad, though.
I've not even seen it.
It was just so ridiculously formulaic and obvious. It bugged me with how predictable it was.
Oh, maybe it's not out yet.
Oh, it's not. It's 3D. Not a film that needs a sequel.
Did.
It's looking likely that you did.
Another breakout is Turkey Shoot, which is good, like a Omens type deal.
I haven't seen that either.
Both Patrick and Turkey Shoot are available dead cheap in the UK on the Hardcore label, which you can get in like pound shops.
Okay.
I mean, the transfers are shit, but. A really great Patrick or Turkey Shoot DVD, are they? So
it's unlikely.
Although there may be an Arrow of Patrick.
Shall I have a look?
Go on, have a look.
Let's see. Oh, I think you might be right, actually.
I mean, they're doing pretty good stuff too.
Yeah.
It's not quite to the same level as, say, Arrow.
But yeah, you can get that new for £1.64 on Amazon, so.
Nice.
Decent print.
Cool.
Yeah.
One of my favourite exploitation films is. I really love, obviously, really love post-apocalyptic stuff. And Dead End Drive-In is great. That's from 1986.
What about Razorback?
I haven't seen Razorback.
Have you not? Have you seen Pig Hunt? Which I love.
I've seen Chore.
No. Pig Hunt is essentially... I mean, even the monster pig looks exactly the same.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, very similar. I do wonder how many people find out about these really little-known exploitation movies and use that as their inspiration.
Well, I mean, it's definitely... it's a genre that's obviously out there, and like, it's easy to get hold of if you know what you're looking for, I think.
Yeah, but it's not easy to stumble upon.
No. Some of the other... what am I trying to say? Some of the other exploitation films feature... like some of the ones that I saw, like the earlier ones, feature Barry What's-His-Doodle. the guy that's Dame Edna.
Barry Humphries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a few of those that have got the Dame Edna character in them, as well as like some of his other characters.
Okay.
It's weird that like Dame Edna was such a big thing in this country.
I know. Why? Why? Ugh. Never ever saw the humour in it.
No. I mean, I don't have too much else to say about exploitation.
No, me either. I don't know enough to talk at length.
Mm.
But it's something I want to know more about. I'm definitely going to look into getting hold of some of the films that I saw talked about in the documentary. And I mean, the documentary itself is really worth watching if you haven't seen it. It's really easy to get hold of on DVD now, so definitely worth a watch. And it introduced me to a lot of films that I'd never heard of, so...
Seems to be like they did. The people that made that made the Machete Maidens Unleashed as well, didn't they? Which is about, is it Indonesian or?
I don't know. I've not seen that one. I've heard of it.
Let me just have a check on the. Well, it's Filipino films.
Okay.
But apparently, like. 2 years ago. I don't know if it was as well received as not quite Hollywood, but it's definitely the same thing, but for Filipino films.
Yeah, it hasn't had a Region 2 release, which suggests perhaps not.
Well, like, I guess because, like, the Philippines aren't necessarily an English-speaking country. It's got less of an appeal.
Yeah.
As sad as that is, like...
No, it's a fact, though.
Yeah, like, culturally... I think culturally, Australia sort of sits in the middle of, like, England and... or the UK and America.
Mm.
Like, we've got a lot of things in common, and they've got a lot of things in common with America, but the things we have in common aren't necessarily the same things.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Right, let's go ahead and take a break. Come back and talk about body melt.
Yes.
Cool. We'll be right back after these messages.
Are you tired of the same old pop culture podcast? Do you listen to those other podcasts and think to yourself, why aren't they talking about the things I'm interested in? Hi, I'm Reverend Scott, and when I want to listen to a couple of guys with their appendages on the pulse of pop culture,
penis,
I listen to the Are You Serious podcast. Hear news about politics and religion where hosts Chris and Frank ask the tough questions.
If you woke up with a cock in your mouth, would you take it or leave it?
Yeah, exactly. How big is the cock?
You'll hear entertainment news about your favorite movies and TV shows, plus plain old wholesome discussion about the lives of Chris and Frank.
I mean, now I am, like, tattooed. It's weird. It's like I guess I should explain what I got.
Yeah.
It's 3 swastikas.
each one interconnected to look like a smiley face.
And on my left arm is cock and balls. And you notice I looked at my right arm.
Character from
said
an old
that.
Disney film.
It's a prequel to Song of the South.
Exactly.
No, I have,
it's called Song of the Cock and Balls.
It sounds like this.
So when you think pop culture podcast, remember this.
What's that thing between the dick and the asshole?
The Are You Serious Podcast on iTunes or areyouseriouspodcast.com.
Housemate Andy had a weird conversation while watching this last night.
Okay.
How long's Neighbours been on? Since what? The 80s?
Since forever. I don't know, actually. When did it start?
Because I think it's the 80s. It must be the 80s.
Probably. Very early 80s, I'd guess.
Ian Smith.
He's never aged.
1985, right? He's been in more episodes of Neighbours than William Roach has been in episodes of Coronation Street. And William Roach has been in Coronation Street since the 60s. And I'm not sure if that's correct, but it seems to be the case. Over 2,000 episodes of Neighbours.
What? That's... wow. That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Sort of. And he like died for ages, didn't he?
Well, and then he came back with amnesia.
Yeah. So there must have been quite a long gap where he wasn't in any episodes, so he certainly made up some ground. Awesome. What a legend.
Yeah. So you've got a synopsis that you're gonna read. Because I don't know if I could synopsize this thing.
I don't think anybody can. The synopsis on the back of the DVD is awful. And the synopsis...
big.
I know. And the synopsis on Wikipedia is really bad as well. But it's shorter, so I'm going to go with that one.
Okay.
How do you pronounce the name of the pills? Vimuville? Vimuville?
Vimuville.
Right.
Either of those will
be. Those pills. So, yeah. Wikipedia has this to say about the plot. The movie is about the residents of the small town of Pebbles Court who are the unknowing test subjects for a new variety of Vimuville dietary supplement pills that arrive for free in their mailboxes. The pills are designed to produce the ultimate healthy human but have unexpected side effects including hallucinations and mutations. Despite the attempts made to warn the townsfolk from a previous test subject who is now undergoing rapid cellular decay, he arrives too late and crashes his car and is killed by tentacles growing out of his throat.
He's not a test subject, he's one of the scientists, isn't he?
Yeah. I didn't say it was accurate, I said it was short.
Okay.
The pills are consumed by the residents and produce liquefying flesh, elongated tongues, exploding stomachs, exploding penises, imploding heads, monstrous births, tentacles growing out of the face, living mucus, sentient placentas, and some other gruesome mutations. Ultimately, more and more of the residents of the Pebbles Court mutate or die horrific deaths until almost every character has been dispatched.
Spoiler alert.
Just a bit. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, that probably covers it. It's a bit... like, some... This film is a weird dichotomy between a lot of stuff happening, but not actually saying anything.
Yeah, a lot of stuff happens, but also nothing happens.
Yeah, and there's a lot of characters.
And I've seen this film a lot, and I'm still unsure of what the fuck happened. Really.
Yeah. I assume it's Philip Brophy's first film.
He's got another couple of credits. This was his last film.
Really?
I think, yeah. He's got another couple of credits, but I don't know if they're feature
shorts. Length. Oh, no, it's composers. He's got, it's a couple of shorts.
Yeah.
You definitely get the impression that this is a first feature, because it's so chock full of, like, different things.
Yeah.
It's sort of the curse of the first film, where the director doesn't know if he's ever going to get to do this again.
Yeah, he's got so many ideas and wants to jam them all in. Just in case.
And it's definitely to the detriment of the film.
Yeah. Maybe. I love how bonkers it is, though.
It plays like an extended effects reel.
Yeah.
And that's where it's fun. Like, the effects are great, but, like, the story's just a big mess of dicks. And, like, nothing really happens, and you don't care about any of the characters, because who are they? There's so many characters.
Yeah.
That, like, you don't even know who anyone is at any point at all.
Yeah, there were quite a few characters where I was like, is that the same dude from before, or is that a new guy, or wait, what?
Like, yeah.
I'm like, still not sure.
Two Italian guys.
Yeah.
You have a family of health freaks.
Yeah.
You've got...
the family of actual freaks.
Yeah. You didn't need to be there at all.
But they were fun.
Yes. And what else have you got? You've got the guy in a hotel for some reason.
Yeah.
You've got the pregnant lady and her husband.
Yeah.
Then you've got the cops.
The other guy keeps having
the bad guys.
Yeah. There's another guy who's having hallucinations, isn't he? Or is that the same? Is that the hotel guy?
That's the guy in the hotel, because he's got the weird broken face girl. It's her.
Yeah.
There's so many characters. So no one gets adequate screen time, so you don't really care who anyone is. A lot of people do a lot of dying that isn't melting. In fact, it takes an hour for anyone to melt. Nobody melts in the first hour of the film.
No, but there's a lot of boring stuff.
I mean, yeah.
I would go as far as to say this is one of the most disgusting films I can name. Not grossest, just most disgusting. Like, I was boking at some parts. The bit with the mucus, just really, I have to look away so as not to vomit.
What, when it's just dripping out in the sink?
Yeah. That's horrible.
I guess. I do a lot of, like, pocket into sink, so I guess it's not too bad for me. Yeah, I mean, the special effects, while they're not good, they're really practical and quite fun, yeah. I mean, it's difficult to see a sort of, 10, 11-year-old kid's body after falling on its face off a skateboard.
Excuse me.
Oh, no, rollerblades.
Yeah.
It's fun, but, I mean, it's a fun effect. It's pretty gross. That's one of the more gross effects, I thought.
Yeah. I like that. I think I get the impression I like this film a lot more than you do.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So how many times have you actually seen this?
This would be the third time, but I've not watched it in about 6 or 7 years.
Okay. I probably saw it about 18 months ago, I think.
Right.
The last time I saw it, not the first time.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong, some of the camera work's pretty inventive, some of the editing's pretty interesting. I mean, the music fucking ruins the whole film for me. I think if you rescored the film so it didn't sound like The Taint, then it would be a completely different and much better film.
Potentially, yeah.
Like, the atmosphere is just, like, dog-shitted all over by the score.
Yeah.
And, like... Ian Smith, the only quote-unquote actor actually in the film. he's pretty good. He does a pretty good job of like switching gears from like the sort of friendly GP to the sort of sinister baddie doctor guy.
Yeah.
But it's all undermined by the music. Like, everything is just undermined by the terrible music. Like, the weird sort of 8-bit techno MIDI score mixed with, like, the incidental music from a cop show from the late 80s. It's just, like, it just ruins it. Like, if it was rescored, it'd be a much better film. The sound design also is shocking.
You know, the director, Philip Brophy, did everything, pretty much.
Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. Is it, though? Maybe he should have delegated a bit more.
Well, like, this is what I was saying to housemate Andy. It was, like, I think he was just too close to it. Like, fair news of the film, it's short. It's very short. So it never like drags, although there are some bits that are like, okay, why is this happening? Can we get on with the story now, please?
Yeah.
But I mean, it's never especially boring. And there's a gore sequence every 10 or 15 minutes at the most. Like, that's the longest you'll ever have to wait for a rad gore sequence.
Yeah.
And that's great. I mean, he gets it, but I just can't forgive the score at all.
It was, oh, I don't know. It's a little bit like somebody had just bought him a Casio keyboard, yeah, and just gone, here you go, stick on one of the backing tracks and have at it.
I imagine that when he was cutting it together, he was like, I'm fucking John Carpenter, I'm so John Carpenter, man. And like, you're not. You're barely even Philip Brophy, to be honest. Looking at my notes now, I wonder how many rigid kangaroos were actually harmed in the making of the film. That kangaroo has never been alive. It was made of like cardboard or something.
I love that scene where what did he even throw at it?
Just a rock, I think.
I love that, and it just falls over.
It's like, everyone's Australian, but is this an Australian? Oh, there's a kangaroo. It's definitely an Australian film. Gore scenes are all fairly sort of non sequitur. That's a word, right?
It is now.
I think it is a word. But, like, I guess that maybe the drug would affect different people in different ways. But I don't know how the drug would cause an imaginary woman to beat a guy's dick off with a bit of wood.
No, I have no idea. I can't help you there.
No. I mean, so it's pretty, like, sloppily written.
Yeah.
It doesn't really care. I mean, it's sort of proud. It's almost like, it's almost a trauma film.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that would sit pretty well in the sort of trauma canon of, like, not canon, but the trauma, like, wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But it hasn't quite got the intelligence to back it up.
Has it not?
I don't think so. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess of a film.
Well, arguably, yeah. What do you think about the satirical element, though? Because it's silly, but it sort of has a message. Or it's poking fun at the whole sort of health conscious boom that was going on around the time. It looks so much older than 1993.
Yeah.
So much older.
Well, it looks like old episodes of Neighbours.
yeah. But 80s, like, episodes of Neighbours.
Yeah, and like the, what's the place called?
In Neighbours?
Pebbles Court.
Oh.
It's almost like Erinsborough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if that was intentional or
possibly
what, or if that's just the way that they sort of approach storytelling, or at least the way that Philip Brophy approached the storytelling.
Oh, I wouldn't be a little bit surprised to find out it was intentional.
Yeah, no, me neither. And, I mean, it's hardly subtle with its allegory or with its message.
No. Not even a little bit.
No.
Did we talk about the bodybuilders? Did you mention those?
I didn't mention them yet. Let's do that.
Oh, go on. What have you got written down?
One of them's got the highest voice in the world.
Yeah. Yes.
They both look a bit like Rick Bronski from the sequels to the Nickel High movies.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. I enjoyed that.
Did you hear about the new Nickel High that they're doing?
I did. We talked about it.
I don't remember talking about it.
Oh, well, they're casting it at the moment.
Yeah.
They had, an open casting in New York. That's pretty great. I didn't know. Dagnabbit. So, go on. Why do you love it so much? Tell me some of the things that are so great about it.
Because it's utterly ridiculous. It's just... I can't think of another film that's quite like it. There are a lot of films that sort of have a similar tone, perhaps, and look quite similar. But it's just bonkers. And I love it for that.
Yeah.
I mean...
I feel like it tried to sort of mash together the sort of Cronenberg-ian type, body horror.
Yeah.
With a comedy. But, because, this bit's funny, this bit's gross, this bit's really quite horrible. It doesn't really gel as a film. I mean, it's an enjoyable experience, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it gels as a film.
Perhaps not.
And it's juddering all over the place. One minute it's slapstick, gore, rock, the next minute it's a fairly disgusting body horror. The next minute it's a police procedural drama, I guess.
Oh, hardly a drama.
Okay, well, it's a procedural comedy.
It got some good reviews. There's some quotes here that are fairly bloody positive about it. With over 150 ways to melt your body, it's one of the most innovative and versatile horror films ever, guaranteed to make you squirm.
There aren't 150 deaths in the film, no. That's a lie.
That's an exaggeration.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure one of the most innovative...
It's unique and individual. The Sawan quote says.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, that quote seems to imply that it is an intentional sort of neighbours allegory or whatever.
Yeah, no, I think it has to have been.
Yeah.
It was quite heavy-handed.
Yeah.
In that respect, I thought. Not that that's a bad thing. But I don't think it was ambiguous.
I mean, the rest of them don't really say anything good. They just say stuff. As satirical as it is sick making a cult hit, I mean, you can't deny that. Packs more mucus, phlegm, puke, snot, slime and spit than you'd think possible. It's not really a review.
It's a fact.
Yeah.
It's a statement.
Despite its emetic preoccupation with exploding stomachs and bodily fluids, there was also an injection of black humour.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not a review. Slime soaked all that shocker. Again, not a review. A dumb, smart satire on health fascism. The kind of movie they don't make anymore. Not a review.
That's a review.
Is it?
Yeah. The rest of them were probably just descriptive statements. That one's a review. Let's not get into that anyway. But yeah, people seem to have been relatively positive about it. Surprisingly so.
It's an enjoyable film. It is a mess. And I don't know if anyone could deny that.
No.
But
I don't. I love it and I don't deny that. It's an absolute mess. It's an atrocity, really.
It's almost like a sketch. A series of sketches. Or like interwoven stories that don't really need to be linked narratively.
Maybe you just watched Slacker and went, oh yeah, that would be so much better though with mucus and melting faces and stuff. because it is like that, just skipping from one character to the next, and they're very rarely revisited. It does mostly just move on. I mean, apart from the sort of inbred family, what characters do they ever come back to? They don't really, do they? And the main woman.
The inbred character is the only one that gets the that sort of gets a like a narrative tie-up type deal. And even then it's rubbish.
It's a stretch.
It's just like, oh, this happened. Cool, thanks. Now we can end this. Now we can end this all.
Yeah.
There are some quotes that I wrote down that I was interested in getting your opinion on.
Okay, direct quotes from the film, you mean?
From the film, yeah.
Okay.
One of them was, fuck off, wiener dick.
Okay.
I quite liked that. I do like overkill in insults. So that was one that I quite liked. But this one... I did have to write about 18 question marks after it.
Okay.
So, one of the characters refers to another character as the Bob Geldof of the gym sack.
Gym set. Gym sack doesn't make any
sense. There are no subtitles, and they're all speaking like Australian.
I assumed he meant gym set. Like.
Right.
The sort
what,
of people
what
that
does
goes
that mean?
Like the sort of people that go to gyms, like, that's what I say, isn't it? Well, I've never said it, but...
Well, I know what a gym set is, but, like...
I don't mean, like...
Why Bob Geldof?
I don't know. Is he a dick? Is he a bit of an arsehole?
He's very charitable.
Or maybe that's it, then. Well, there, so it makes sense, sort of.
Does it?
Sort of. I've got a friend who... sort of... more than a decade after having seen this film, still regularly quotes the "Do you want a love bite?" line on a very regular basis. Troublingly, is that a word?
I guess so.
Just inventing words left and right.
Well,
there's
no
need for it.
Let's put a weird family in, and then two of the characters that could melt in a really awesome way don't. They just get killed.
I kind of love that bit though, when the second one sort of panics and gets back in his truck and just starts driving around in circles because they fucked his truck up. No enjoyment
like
out of that.
I mean, I like it.
It's funny.
I don't know why the guy that looks like Lazzarini from USA High would go in the barn with the girl thing, but yeah.
Was that an actual woman, or was that a man?
Don't know.
Not to sound offensive, but I was a little bit unsure.
What were those characters called?
I've no idea.
Pud? Well, that's Pud, Bab, Slab. I mean, these are just normal Australian names, aren't they?
I guess so.
Wiz was. Twizzle was a...
I think we've just... kissed goodbye to any potential Australian listeners right now.
It's not like they don't know that they talk gibberish.
They probably think we do. We do,
no,
though.
Like we call a fork a fork. They call it like a chisel wizard.
Maybe they're onto something. Maybe life would be more enjoyable if things had more inventive names. Fork's boring now. I'm going to call it a chisel wizard from now on. No?
I guess.
I think they're onto something.
I wonder if that comes from like the Aboriginal dialects, or if it's just that they're all fucking mental.
I'm gonna back out of that one because I don't want to generalise and offend a lot of people potentially.
It's all right. They're all convicts anyway.
My cousins are Australian.
No.
They're relatively normal. Relatively.
Is one of them called Pud?
No, none of them are called Pud. I don't think it's that common a name in Australia.
I'm guessing, like, Sharon is the girl. It's got two A's in it.
Oh, maybe.
Well, that's Regina Guy Gallus. Chuzzle. Oh, no, wait.
Chuzzle.
She was Linda Carpenter in Neighbours.
Oh. Were they all in Neighbours at some point?
I mean, Australian actors, what else are they going to do? Going away? No one wants to do that.
No.
No, it's not her.
I don't think it's that important. We're waffling now, shall we wrap up?
Yeah.
I don't really have a ton more to say about Body Melt.
I mean, there's some really... I'm going to just do my wrap up, right? There's some really unsubtle... what's the word? Like, symbolism, I guess. The evil doctor, Harold Bishop, gets shot in the hand. It looks like he's got stigmata. Obviously, he's been playing God. it's a mess. I can't stress enough that it's a mess, but it is fun. It's never boring. There's plenty of, like, inventive... Like, it's almost like... I mean, I would never compare this to a film from, like, Sam Raimi.
No, God, no.
That set of, like, horror directors that were around in the early 90s, late 80s.
It's nowhere near good enough.
No, it's not. But, I mean, there are some interesting camera moments where it put me in the mind of, say, a Sam Raimi film.
Yeah.
Particularly the bit in when they return to the garage at the end. And there's just that really nice tracking shot of just the aisle. And it's like, I mean, it serves no purpose, and it's really out of place because the rest of it's pretty, like, standardly shot, apart from the shots of, like, the, I guess, throats or intestines or whatever they're meant to be.
Yeah.
But that shot was really, really well composed. The audio, like, the ADR is shocking, the whole, like, sound design of the film is shocking, the music is fucking awful. If you overhaul the music, in fact, if I could get a copy of this without any music on it, I would write a better score for this.
Really? What would you give it, as it stands?
As it stands, 4.
Okay, that's higher than I thought you were going to go.
I mean, it gets a lot because, I mean, the effects are so good.
Yeah.
And like, they're really well, like, the effects are really well put together. I do like Ian Smith as in a non-Harold Bishop role, the only one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Obviously. Excuse me. And like, he is effective. There are boobs, which I like. Mm-hmm. There's an exploding penis, which I'm a big fan of exploding penises. Like, genital horror in general is something that both, like, excites and confounds me. But it is a mess.
Yeah. You can't reiterate that enough, can you?
there's no, like, it's impossible to ever talk about this film without talking about how much of a mess it is. But, like, the redeeming qualities are there. If you can get past... Like, it's not so bad it's good. It's just slightly better than so bad it's good, which makes it kind of bad. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
It's not bad enough to be so bad it's good, so it's not good enough to be good.
Yes. That was a mess of a sentence, but I absolutely understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so
that sentence was brought to you, directed by Philip Brophy.
Is he going to be your scapegoat for all your bad sentences now?
Yes.
Well,
so yeah, that's my
okay.
Summation.
Well, I'm going to agree with the fact that it is a big old fucking mess. Absolutely. It's just all over the place.
So is.
I don't really need to say too much more because we've stressed that quite a lot already. But I think I might go as high as a 6. But I will point out that score, that 6 out of 10, is purely based on... That's a purely subjective score. That's how much I enjoy it. that's not, this film is a 6 in terms of quality, because that's absolutely incorrect. But in terms of how much I enjoy it, and how many, God, I've seen it umpteen times already, it's just one of those films that if you get some friends round, get a bit drunk, it's a perfect film to just stick on in the background and make fun of.
Well, it's definitely a get your mates round and let's put this on.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably better if you're not paying attention. Like, watching a film to review, you sort of, you have to sit there and go, right.
Yeah, you have to give it your full attention.
But, like, in a sort of party atmosphere, or, like, as the party's dying down, where you're like, that's just, like, a fun one and long out.
Yeah.
This is probably a good one. I'd still maybe gravitate towards maybe Psychotic Returns, which I obviously love. Or even a video mixtape, like the Tartron tapes or whatever.
But well, yeah, I'm not saying this would be anybody's first choice, but it's very much one of those films.
It really, really is.
Yeah.
It definitely benefits from not being scrutinised too closely.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, so 4 out of 10, 6 out of 10. I think, right, Melt movies are such a, I'm not going to get into the whole genre. Tiny as it is, because we'll talk about that in the wrap-up show. But in terms of Melt movies, do you think this might be a good introduction? You know what you're getting, don't you? Like,
I mean, yeah. It might be. It certainly start the bar up quite low.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I would say watch this before watching The Incredible Melting Man.
Yeah. Definitely.
Which we're going to review next week. I think the stuff, which we're going to review in 2 weeks' time, is the perfect introduction to a Melt movie.
Okay.
Into the genre.
Yeah. Well, we'll not get too much into that now anyway, because we will talk about that a lot more in the wrap-up show.
Yeah. The stuff show.
Yes. One would hope so.
Yeah.
But we make no guarantees. We might touch on it a little bit in between tangents. So yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, we'll see. So yeah, that's us done, I think, this week.
Yes, as I said at the beginning, feedback to podcast@gorepress.com.
Please do, because we didn't get any last month, and it makes us sad. Oh yeah.
I can't remember.
Probably not.
But yeah, giz.
Giz it.
I've been trying to teach Poppy to say giz.
How are you getting on?
Well, she's okay with it. It's Laura that's not really enjoying it so much.
As long as she's not saying seaweed, it's all good. So yeah, feedback to podcast@gorepress.com.
Twitter is @gorecastx.
Yep.
@gorecastx.
Yep.
And we'll try and strong arm this guy into giving his podcast.
I don't see that happening, but maybe we'll succeed. Who knows? And yeah, like the Facebook page and whack us a comment on there if you prefer to do that. And that's facebook.com/gorecast.
Sure is. Is there anything to... is there reviews of One of the Dead?
Yes.
On gorepress.com.
Yeah. What else has gone on?
I don't know. The two competitions that are on there are closed.
But we do have a new one coming soon, actually. Yes. Scully and went to see a screening of Chernobyl Diaries last night, so we'll have a review for that soon. And
sounds good.
Yeah, and a new competition in conjunction with that for a bumper pack of horror movies, which I think include Julia's Eyes, Don't Be Afraid of the Dark, not Chernobyl Diaries. I think it's 5 movies. So yeah, that could be quite cool. Who doesn't want 5 free DVDs, right? So keep your eyes peeled for that.
A Halloween quiz.
Still a sore point, eh?
Yeah. And this year, we are going to be the sore losers.
The sore losers. We have to be. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that off air, shall we?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, all of those things. We will see you next week to discuss The Incredible Melting Man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch it twice this week. Once the actual film, and I'm also going to watch the Mystery Science Theater episode.
I didn't even know that existed. Send that over to me.
Can do that. I'll send you the copy of my DVD.
The perfectly legitimate copy that you have. Sweet.
Definitely.
Okay.
So we'll see you then.
Okay. excited.
Hasta luego. Hasta luego. 40% of Spanish is the hands. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
I am here.